Hello and welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry with Tara Rye. We're excited to have you back again. And we've been discussing Joshua and how strong and courageous he had to be to go in and face his giants like we all face our own giants. And God, you know, promises never to leave us or forsake us no matter what. And he's always right there with us. And he was there with Joshua also. He also commanded us to meditate on the word day and night so that we have it in our hearts so that when somebody is talking to us, we know we're to speak in truth. And we ended last time with Psalm 24, 1 and 2, and we're going to begin it that way also.
That sounds good.
Okay. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Waters. Rivers, too.
Yeah, all waters.
All the waters.
Rivers included in that. You know, and that particular psalm tells us that God owns everything. Everything. There is nothing, because he is the one that established the heavens and the earth. He is the one that took that which was formless and void and fashioned and formed it and filled it and said, be fruitful and multiply. God owns everything. All things.
You know, I think sometimes we forget about the sovereignty of God. You know, I can. You know, how big is my God? Sometimes I wonder. I can put him in a box and that's not good.
Yeah, it isn't good.
It's not good.
There's a song from a long time ago. It was called A Frog in a Box. Do you ever know that one?
I don't.
And a frog is meant to hop. It was a spiritual lesson is what it was. I mean, this is probably 20 years ago. And that, you know, you can't put a frog in the box. And my mind always went to, there was a Bugs Bunny cartoon. And Bugs Bunny, there was this frog that sang. And, you know, if he kept it in the box, he wouldn't sing. But if you open the box, you know, the guy, you know, he'd sing. But if you put him on the stage, he wouldn't sing, kind of thing. But it's the same. Frogs are meant to hop.
Yeah. And I always remember frog was fully rely on God.
Well, that was the whole
thing.
When
we teach Bible school. Yeah.
And that we're not to put God
in
the box. Because God is so bigger, greater. Mm-hmm. And Joshua here has been given the privilege of being the leader after Moses.
Oh, I know, wow.
You know, the one who brought Israel out of bondage from Egypt into, you know, bringing them towards the promised land. And he is the one that gets to lead them now, mm-hmm. take them into the full measure of the promised land because they were punished because they allowed sin mm-hmm. in the camp.
You know, I think about Joshua and Moses, and I think about, you know, where he stood for Moses when Moses went up on the mountain.
Yeah.
And he did exactly what Moses told him. So he's very obedient.
He's extremely obedient. Yes. And that's what makes him mm-hmm. an incredible leader.
That's why God chose him.
I know. And this, he's going in to possess the land. And what came to my mind, because he says, do not be afraid or be discouraged. And the question that came to my mind is, you know, have you dealt with fear? Have you dealt with discouragement? You know, where in your life right now is fear consuming you? Where in your life right now is discouragement overwhelming you? And he says, be strong and courageous. If we do not turn to the left or to the right, if we meditate on the word of God, if we do not allow it to depart from us, literally, it's so a part of us that we live it, breathe it, sing it, sleep it. He says we will know success and prosperity in his economy, not man's economy, but his economy. But sometimes I know when I'm in that fearfulness and when I'm in that despair, it is so hard for me to see that God is fully established and he is the owner of all things. And we have to get that right. We have to understand who God is. Mm-hmm. And it's perfect that you started us off with talking about the sovereignty of God, who he is, creator of heaven and earth. He is the one that made me, and you. Mm-hmm. He created each of us, and then he has a plan and purpose for us. And here for Joshua, he wants him to understand, be strong, be courageous, be determined. Ensure that you're going to step forward in what you know. I mean, it's just, you got to know what you know about God. Mm-hmm. When I falter, I have found it's when I'm not focused in on what I know about God. Mm-hmm. It's when I waver, when I don't take the word of God. And that's when I feel like I'm going to faint.
Yeah.
And so I have a responsibility then to make sure I'm doing the very commands that he has given him. So he tells him, get ready. He says, I want you to lead the people to help them inherit the land. I want you to take my word, not turn from it. I want you to take my word. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to take my word and literally carefully obey it. And then not only that, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Those right there are incredible game plan, so to speak, for me when I feel afraid or I am discouraged. And to take it and then to go back, okay, God, am I preparing myself? Am I getting ready? Have I messed up in what I'm supposed to be doing to make myself ready to move forward to possess the land you have given me? Because if you own it and I'm a child of God, I have an inheritance in this land. You want me to take hold of my inheritance on this land for your glory. So what have I done where I've not gotten myself ready? Am I not praying? Am I not reading my Bible? Okay, maybe I'm praying and maybe I'm reading my Bible, but I'm not doing it to where I'm applying it into my life or allowing it to penetrate so that it can change me. I've made it into a habit that isn't a holy habit, but a ritual habit. And, you know, and some rituals are good, but, you know, we've got to make sure that it's in the relationship. So examining myself to see, am I preparing myself to be ready?
Right.
That's what he was asking him. And so, Sandy, daily, what do you do to prepare yourself to be ready?
I read the Bible.
You do?
Or a devotional.
What's your habit? What do you do?
Well, the good habit I had was to get up immediately and read the Bible and journal.
Okay.
You know, I kind of went away from that after Steve passed away, and I still
struggle.
And
why was that? Why do you think that was?
You know, I'm not sure. I listen to music all the time, the radio stations, and that spoke to me so much, my heart, because my heart was hurting so much when Steve passed away that I had a hard time reading the Bible. And I don't think I was mad at God. I might have been mad at Steve a little bit.
How dare you leave me?
Yeah, pretty much. When there was like some financial stuff I didn't understand, you know, but I always found that even if I wasn't in the Bible at that time, God always sent either a person to tell me something, or I read devotionals every day, you know, and the devotionals would even speak to me, you know, and so I really treasured the journal writing, and it helped me through my grief.
That's good.
Because so I put my feelings on paper.
What made you get back to where you were reading the Word of God? What hit you?
I think
what caused the change?
I think I just finally got through with God. Of course, some of my grief, it's still there. It's always going to be there. I'm going to miss him a lot. But I really felt like I could see tomorrow, I guess I would say. It's not fun to go forward without Steve, but, you know, that's what you do. You go forward, you know, and so just knowing God's with me, I know that, you know, he's going to direct my path.
Okay. Did part of what you just answered this, actually, part of it was is that you had to recognize God in your circumstances. Even
Absolutely.
Though it wasn't the circumstances you wanted, you had to focus where he was.
Right.
And so part of getting ready is that we have to focus in on God.
Right.
And begin our journey of getting ready to go possess the land that he has given us. It begins with him, recognizing who he is and that he has the plan and purpose for us.
Right.
All right, so the next thing he says is, I want you to lead these people. So he can't lead them until he's gotten himself ready.
Right.
That's huge, isn't
it? That is huge. You know, we never think about that because, I mean, every day we need to be ready because we don't know what we're going to face.
We really don't, do we?
Or every moment.
You know, this week I've had multiple circumstances, I think four, where I've had a person in my life melt down. Four times this week I've had that. And I'm dumbfounded. You know, when it happens in my life, I just sit there because I've had meltdowns.
We all have meltdowns.
We all do. So it's not in judgment or anything. And knowing how I can make sure I'm ready to handle that circumstance and to be ready to possess the land. And another example I'll give is from your life. And I think I may have shared this with you. And when Steve was in the hospital, I think Greg and I were out of sorts or something. but I was going to go do a hospital visit, and I was really irritated with him. I mean, like, really mad, irritated with my husband. And as I was on the way to the hospital on the radio, this, you know, listening here to, you know, our sister station, and they said something that was so profound. It was a Bible verse, and they were just applying it to their life. And it spoke to my heart, and I immediately started confessing the sin in my heart. And when I walked into the hospital room, Steve was laying there, and you turned and looked at me, and you went, "Oh, good, Tara is here. You can pray." And I sat down in the chair, and it was as if God, I'm going to cry, Sandy. Was that God spoke to me? I haven't told you this.
I don't think
it was a major spiritual moment in my life. It really was. It was as if God whispered to my heart, and he said, "See, if you came in here with that attitude in your heart, you would not have been able to be the blessing that I want you to be right now in prayer."
Because you've always been a blessing when you walked in the room.
Well, I would have been separated from God. My prayer would not have been, because I was in sin. And I just sat there. It took me a moment because God was speaking to me as I was under conviction. And I have thought about that so much, and I think I've shared that story twice this week already. It's easy for me to want to go in and possess a land. I knew that part of my thing of being the leader God's called me to do is to go and visit my friend when her husband was in the hospital. In that circumstance, I can't do it and all, but I knew I was supposed to on that day. But to go when I hadn't made myself ready, I would not have been able to lead in prayer. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
And so making sure I'm ready, taking the time, and I was even talking with God about that this morning as I was praying for the radio, and that I will up my prayer time when I know I'm about to do the radio. I will up my prayer time when I know I'm about to do a speaking engagement. I don't allow myself to do my normal, that I know I need more. And so that is part of my preparation as well. We need to follow the same commands that he's given Joshua. And, you know, and he wanted him to take the word and to have it so be a part of him, so that when he went before the people could see that it was the Lord God Almighty who was upon him. And think about what the people said at the end of the verse. They said, I think it's in verse 18. Whoever rebels against your word, does not obey your words, whatever may command. Wait, no, it's verse 17. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. They saw that Moses was close to God, and they wanted their leader to be close to God. Isn't that what we want for
our... Well, we do. You know, we want all of our leaders. You know, our pastors, or, you know, or anybody, our spiritual leader in our homes. We just want them to be close to God.
And I want to know that I'm getting the Word of God.
For sure.
It's an important lesson for us to take. And it's I think, the hardest lesson to apply. Because it means that I have to make sure I've spent enough time in God's Word, not just reading it, but studying it, so that my mind can be stayed upon him regardless of what's going on around me.
And that's difficult at times.
It is very.
But it's a choice.
It is a choice.
You know, and I haven't always made the choice, but I want to make the choice.
I
desire that.
I agree. So as I was looking at this, I realized, you know what? When God gave him these promises, he gave several different kinds of promises to him. And I actually broke them out in categories. Sandy, this is so cool. There were physical promises, there were social promises, and there were spiritual promises. And so God provided a whole person, you know, the wholeness of us, the physical, the social, and the spiritual. Now, we will take that spiritual covers the mental and the emotional. Okay, that's what we have to understand. The spiritual covers the mental and the emotional. When the spiritual is right, the mental and the emotional will follow. When I allow my mental or my emotional to get distracted. I'm not being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And so we have to get that solidified inside our hearts that when my spirit is right with God, my mental and emotional will follow. And the physical was is that he was going to possess the land. So in Joshua 1:3, he says, I'll give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And Joshua 1:4, your territory will extend to the desert of Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, to the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. This is a physical possession, a promise of the physical land. Today, we don't necessarily have that physical promise that we will own the land as children of God. We know that when Jesus comes back, that land will be owned and possessed because that's the inheritance. Mm-hmm. But that's not a promise that, you know, it's like, oh, I can say I own that land. But we know that that's a promise that will be fulfillment when Jesus returns, okay? Now, the social promises he gives, he says in Joshua 1:5a, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life.
That's quite a promise, all the days of your life. Wow.
There's something about not being able to stand up against. I mean, that's huge.
That's huge.
It's because it's the Word of God.
Right.
And the Word of God is authority. It is authoritative. And the enemy cannot stand in the presence of the Word of God. They cannot. And so we need not be afraid of people.
And I think sometimes we are, and we shouldn't. You're right. But I think that's other people pleasing or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I have that sin.
Yeah, me too.
And he also promises in Joshua 1:8b, you will be prosperous and successful. Now, again, let's reiterate, that is God's economy, right, not man's idea, okay? So the spiritual provision that he promises in Joshua 1:5, he says, as with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
I love that one.
I do too.
I say that one a lot.
I do too. And then Joshua 1:9, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Wherever.
As a child of God, spiritually, I can stand on that promise. That is a promise that is mine for eternity, that as his child, there is no place
that we can go without him.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Including public schools that say I can't.
Yeah.
Pray. My God is with me because I'm a child of God. They cannot stop my dialogue with my God because my dialogue happens within my heart and mind.
Mm-hmm. And God is with you.
And he is with me. You know, it is amazing. Now, you're going to want to come back because we're going to actually look at some of the qualities, the character qualities we really like about Joshua. And we're going to dialogue about those qualities and reflect on how we want them to be a part of our life as well. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. Sandy and I are just blessed to become a part of your world. And we don't know where you're at in the world. You know, if you're close to us in the middle of America or far, far away, but we just want you to know that God loves you. God bless.